You are listening to Animal Voices, CIUT 89.5. I'm your host, Lauren Corman. Today we are talking about the film called Earthlings. It's by narrated by Joaquin Phoenix, and we're going to be speaking with the writer and director of this film. His name is Sean Monson. Earthlings, I'll just read you the back of Earthlings, how they describe the film. Earthlings is a documentary film about mankind's complete economic dependence on animals raised for pets, food, clothing, entertainment, and scientific research. Using hidden cameras and never-before-seen footage, Earthlings chronicles the day-to-day practices of the largest industries in the world, all of which rely entirely on animals for profit. Powerful, informative, controversial, and thought-provoking, Earthlings is by far the most comprehensive documentary ever produced on the correlation between nature, animals, and human economic interests. And I want to thank Ida, my friend Ida, for lending this DVD to me. I just wanted to let people know that we have our website up and running, and there's an opportunity for people to listen to archive shows by going to animalvoices.ca, and you can also post comments there if you have any thoughts on the show, or if you if you had any suggestions, you can also post them there. Or you can write us at animalvoices@ciut.fm. Again, the website is animalvoices.ca. And thanks to Neil and Rob for their continuing upkeep of that site. I wanted to also just say a quick, appendum to last week's show. We had reported an incorrect story accidentally about the eagle egg. And, of course, for people who are following that story, one of the eggs was taken and the other one did not hatch and was actually found collapsed in the nest. This is the live stream video that's been happening of the two eagles on the West Coast. Anyway, so we had reported that there had been an eaglet who was born, and this was not the case. So we wanted to offer our retraction of that story and to say sorry to people who had heard that and had their hopes up. I think we're going to take a short little musical break, perhaps. We're going to come back. We're going to talk with Sean Monson. So stay tuned to Animal Voices, CIUT 89.5. Hi, and welcome back. Today we are talking about the film called Earthlings. And I have some great quotes here from people who have seen the film. For example, Peter Singer says, "If I could make everyone in the world see one film, I'd make them see Earthlings." There are lots of other really fantastic quotes, people who have been profoundly moved by the film Earthlings. We're very pleased to be joined by the writer and director of this film, Sean Monson, and we're also joined by the co-producer, Persia White. So I wanted to welcome you both to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you. How are you both doing today?
Good, good. Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, we can. I wanted to just start off by getting both of you to introduce yourselves. So how about both of you maybe tell us a bit about your background and what brought you to the film Earthlings?
Well, let's see. I guess I'll go first. I had done, initially, Lauren, I'd done a couple of public service announcements on spaying and neutering pets, and we shot those down in South Central Los Angeles, and I had never done a documentary before, and somehow doing those really got me interested in more the power of documentary filmmaking, sort of the reality of it, and that led to making Earthlings, and I've done two other documentaries since. So that was kind of the genesis of Earthlings and my interest in documentaries, which I want to now spend my life making.
Wow, so it got you going.
Yeah. I mean, not only the making of it, because it's unscripted, and in the case of Earthlings, I only shot probably maybe 15 or 20% of the film. I actually photographed myself. The rest of it came from existing footage from either amateur videographers or hidden cameras. So it's sort of the opposite of filmmaking, because you have no control over your shot. Mm. They are what they are, and then you sort of bring your film together in the editing. And then when you see the reaction of viewers to it, despite it's sometimes seemingly poor quality because of the nature of the video, you really get excited about the power of good documentary filmmaking. At least that was my experience.
And what about you, Persia? What brought you to Earthlings, and what about your background?
Well, I've been in, animal rights and I'm a vegan, and I'm into various animal protection agencies for quite a while now. I actually saw one of Sean's earlier rough cuts of the movie, and it was just so, I was, you know, as profoundly moved as people are now, and I wanted to help in any way that I could. That's pretty much what it was. I mean, it's just an amazing film to be a part of.
And how would you both describe the film then? Because this is seems a little bit different than some other films that I've seen. It doesn't just concentrate on one industry. So what would you say sort of sets Earthlings apart from other films? Why was it important that this one was made?
Let's take the first part of it. The reason I didn't necessarily pick on a particular company, I do sort of point the finger at some industries, as you know, in the film. But I didn't really want to say this company does this. I found in the research in the making of the film that it was an industry, that the industries themselves were all adopting these practices, and the treatment was poor, the quality was, the conditions were poor, and I saw that across the board. So instead of putting one corporation out there and saying this particular meat or dairy company does this, I could say, honestly, that these industries were all treating animals this way. And that's how come the film begins with a sort of disclaimer that says these are not isolated incidents, but the industry standard. And I also felt that if I did it that way, I would also not judge the viewer who was watching the film. And so I didn't want to have the film come off like, you should do this, you shouldn't do that. I thought the images could sort of speak for themselves. And so anyway, yeah, go ahead.
I think what separates Earthlings from other films is that it's an encompassment of how man has come to treat animals. And the basic story to me, the premise is about man's inhumanity in our current state of consciousness, which has become so numb and so unaware of life on our planet and how we treat others. It's not about one particular animal issue. To me, I even tell people it's actually about humanity.
I wanted to jump back just for a minute to talk about the industry standard, because I think that, you know, when you look at a lot of animal, what gets, you know, termed an animal rights film, is that people will dismiss it, despite a disclaimer that says this is an industry standard. You know, I imagine that people perhaps already have said things like, you know, you're picking the worst of the worst, you know, you've selected the most graphic images, or even that they're not even real images. I think that we live in a time where it's so easy to manipulate photos and video. How do you lay claim to the reality of the images?
We've shown the film at a few festivals now, and we've had quite a few screenings, and I'll be honest, I've heard that doubt very rarely.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, people aren't saying, I don't mean to laugh, but I know the budget I had when I made this film, and I certainly didn't have any type of budget to go recreate some sort of CGI destruction of these animals in labs or whatever they think it is. Also, the film was supported by a number of very worthy groups, from the Humane Society to PETA, to Farm Sanctuary, to Greenpeace, to Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, to Last Chance for Animals, among others, who were contributing the footage, and so their organizations got behind it. And I spoke to many of the investigators who actually documented the footage in the film. So, yeah, I didn't have too many people at a screening say, you made this all up.
That's good. So let's talk about then the majority of the responses. I was trying to imagine you, or both of you, I guess, you know, being in a place where people maybe haven't been exposed to these issues before, or people are revisiting them and being in the midst of a crowd, what have people been saying? How have people been reacting?
I'm always curious at the beginning of a screening, every screening, how people will react. We have seen a small sort of walkout ratio, I call it, at a festival or at a screening where people, they think that this knowledge is too traumatic, and so they take a break and they step out. But I was as happy to discover, and I see this after almost every screening, that people are not sort of depressed and sort of beaten up by the film, but they're empowered by it. They're encouraged by what they've learned as consumers, and they want to tell their friends about it. And as Joaquin says, Joaquin has a great quote, which we have in the DVD, which is really complimentary coming from such a respected and well-known actor. And he says, of all the films I ever made, Earthlings is the one that gets people talking the most, because for every one person who sees Earthlings, they tell three. And I think that's the issue that's speaking out. And I think, as Persia said, I think that's people's humanity in all of us, the good humanity in all of us. We see it. Even some pretty callous individuals who've watched the film, and they just look at it and they just say, no, that's not right. That's not. And so I think it works, and they tell another. They tell another because there's something in that film that they probably do every day, whether it's what they're eating, what they're wearing, products they're buying, or their entertainment, or their pet, down to their own pet. Something in that movie touched on something that affects them daily, and they want to share that information with another.
Yeah, they like to talk afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That must be inspiring for both of you.
Oh, yeah, so it gives you hope.
Yeah.
Planet, you're like, oh my gosh, I was, you know, you'd think people would get, like you say, angry, riled up. They have the right to be if they want to, but they don't. They tend to be patient, curious, they want to know more.
They want to get copies, and they want to find it. We get a lot of requests for the film in other languages, or subtitles in other languages around the world, which we haven't completed doing just yet. But that's encouraging to us to see that people want to get it, show their friends and families, and tell others about it.
We during the break, we had someone call in, and they were wondering if there's a way to order the film without using the internet. I guess they're not comfortable, or they don't have access to the internet. Is there a phone number, or is there a different route for people who want to order the film?
Yeah, well, on the website there is a mailing address, and I've had people send us a check with like a money order. Yeah, and I had that from universities as well, which was surprising, but. They'll just send me a check with a copy of, you know, a receipt for $19.99 or a little invoice, and we send them a DVD. So we can give that address out if you like.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, it's the address is, it goes to Nation Earth. That's the production company, Nation Earth. And you can send a check for $19.99 to 4000. That's 4000-D as in David. And it's West Magnolia Boulevard.
Great. We'll get you to do that again, maybe at the end of the show, too. So where is the footage coming from in terms of globally? Located where?
Well, there was a lot of domestic footage that came from the local groups here. As I mentioned in the beginning, like the Humane Society and PETA and Greenpeace. Sea Shepherd's based in Canada. No, actually, they have an office here as well.
Yeah.
We also started getting footage from other groups in other parts of the world. There's a scene at the end of the at the very end of the pet segment. You know, remember there's a scene where they have an overpopulation issue in Turkey, and they throw a dog into the back of a trash compactor. The trash truck comes by. That came out of Turkey. So some of it came from different parts of the world, in Australia, sort of all over. I cover so many issues in the film, and we did it over so many years that I didn't see a difference between the different countries' treatment, to be honest. I saw the same mistreatment here as I saw abroad. So to me, it just came back to man's inhumanity to other animals, and there was sort of a universal nature in that when it came to using animals for economic purposes.
So, yeah, I was gonna ask, you know, watching the film, and I was only able to watch clips of it, and I tried to make sure I watched clips from sort of all the major sections. Because I knew that I wouldn't be able to make it through it. But I'm wondering how, you know, both of you sitting with this material, how you wrap your heads around it. It's so unfathomable to me. The numbers are so huge. The cruelty is so intense. And it feels in some ways like a boulder that's just, you know, rushing down the side of a mountain that feels very unstoppable. And clearly both of you have some hope. A film like this, I think, is testament to that. So how do you, I guess my long-winded way of saying, how do you make sense of what's going on here, and what do you think it's going to take to at least put a wedge underneath that boulder and to get it to slow down or stop?
Okay, we're like, whoa. Well, that was a light question.
Good morning.
Yeah, this is really a fluffy conversation. we work on how do we save the planet all the time. We go, how do we do this? How do you stop that boulder? Like the little ant.
Tell us about being the ant person.
You know, it's funny because it is true. Like you say, when you look at the numbers and what's going on, it seems like it's so overbearing and so much, but the rate and pace that it's going at, I do think that, you know, we must witness with our eyes what they endure with their bodies, and to wrap your head around it is part of the solution, is just confronting, just being able to look at it, open your eyes. And the beautiful part about man's humanity is that we are basically kind. We do, you know, there's some beautiful quotes from a book called Dominion in the film, just talking about man's tendency to flinch when you see an animal suffering, and that speaks well of
you. Well of us, yeah.
That we have that. Most people do. I always say that to people, I'm no different than anybody. Most people see a puppy on the side of the street suffering. They wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't want that to happen if it could be stopped. But we've made this separation from us and so much of the rest of the suffering, because we don't look, that it continues at a rate that is astounding, because corporations are making their bottom line cheaper, you know, lower, and their profit higher off of mass suffering that no one's looking at it. But that's the standard across the planet in history. When something's hidden, no one looks at it, and a corporation or a company or a group is going to make a large profit off of that suffering, it will increase and increase and increase until somebody says enough and somebody has the courage to look at it, because we don't want to look at it. You want to just go comfortably about your day without acknowledging that, you know, it's going on. And then once you look, the next step is that you, you know, naturally you want to stop something. Mm-hmm. And so each person who does one thing has a profound impact on those industries that are making profit. So we have the power of consumer, and we have the power of, you know, change within our daily lives.
The toughest problem we have with this movie is getting people to watch it. That is the hardest thing we have, and that also we saw when we were submitting to festivals. Last summer we submitted to, I think in a 3-month period, we submitted to about 25 festivals, and we got into 3 of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some ratios with festivals. I was particularly disappointed, I guess, when we were turned down by documentary festivals that only show documentary films. But getting the film to be seen is the toughest challenge. Once people agree, yeah, I'll take a look at this, anybody that has come to me, I've talked to quite a few people that has regretted seeing Earthlings.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's why we came up with that website, isawearthlings.com. It was sort of, did you see it? Yeah, I saw Earthlings. And as I said before, it empowered them, and they wanted to tell others about it. It's just getting people to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said before, we need people that are brave enough. We need distributors brave enough to show it. And at this point, we haven't had that, so we've self-distributed it. And thank God for the Internet, because we've been able to get around the planet with this movie, and we send out DVDs every day worldwide with no publicity or at all. I have no idea how people are beginning to hear about this movie. I did, but they are, and they want to see it, and they want to show it to their friends and family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the kind of film that you want to buy in bulk. I found that as I was watching it, I was like generating this list in my head of people that I would buy it for. So I was, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about that, because, you know, it seems like you're kind of standing in this contradiction in a way, because, you know, part of the problem is people don't want to look, and then you make a film and you say, hey, well, why don't you look? I imagine, yeah, it can be a battle sometimes.
Yeah, well, you know, I couldn't get my brother to watch the film for many years. I love my brother. We're really close, but he, you know, he just didn't want to see it. And I petitioned him. I even got past the issue. I just said, I'm your kid brother. I spent all this money on this film. I've worked very hard to accomplish this thing. Will you just watch it for no other reason than I'm your brother? And he's so stubborn. He would not watch the film. And then one day we had a screening at the Egyptian here in L.A., and he showed up. And he sat there and he watched the film, and you know, a relatively stoic, sort of unemotional man. But at the end of it, he sort of nodded his head and he said, "Okay, tell me more." And that's all. This is Earthlings is a tool, you know. It's just educational outreach. I recognize we have a big celebrity attached to it to hopefully entice people. Whatever reason, people will be willing to just take a look at these these type of things, that's a good reason for me. And then as consumers, they can make their own decisions. You know, that's all you can do anyway, is mm-hmm. educate and hope that, you know, that they want it to be different.
So I'm realizing for people who maybe haven't seen the website or haven't had a chance to find out more about the film, that we're talking kind of abstractly about it. What are some of the industries that you end up covering in the film? What would be people? What can people expect walking into the film?
Well, the opening the first 7 minutes are available online. We're actually showing the opening 7 minutes of the film. That sort of sets the framework for these three things we talk about, racism and sexism, and then this term speciesism, this sort of separation between one group and another. So we sort of lay that framework, and then after about 7 minutes, the film goes into five different parts. The first part is pets, the second part is food, the third part is clothing, the fourth part is entertainment, and the fifth part is scientific research. So it covers just about every major area where animals are used by humankind for one industry or another. And then within each part, they're sort of subdivided into almost like little miniature sort of PSAs where we cover spaying and neutering, where we cover euthanasia. This is in the pet instance of the pet segment. Under food, we cover not only land and sea food, but the methodology of the industries who prepare this food all the way to the marketplace. And then in clothing, you'll see different segments of different types of clothing, where the animals come from. It just takes viewers through the whole process of how this stuff comes to our stores.
How did the editing process work? Were the images that you did choose the clear choices, or was it a struggle to figure out what to show?
Mostly when I'd start to get the footage, lots of footage would come in. For example, we do a kosher segment in the film. And I'd look at 2.5 hours of footage from a slaughterhouse, and it didn't matter which actual cow or pig I used in the film in that 90-second kosher segment that's in the movie, because the assembly line process was so consistent. So I didn't have to say, as Persia pointed out, I didn't say, oh, here's a tough shot, or the Earthlings is definitely not a shock film. These are the industry standards. And in your average slaughterhouse, between 300 and 400 head an hour that are killed, yeah, that's quite a few animals. This is a 95-minute movie, and you know, there's several hundred animals that die. You see their deaths on screen, and that's consistent with your average slaughterhouse. Every 90 minutes in the slaughterhouse, and so there's sort of a parallel in the film to what's going on every 90 minutes, every day, you know, around the world in these industries.
Mm-hmm. I remember watching Peaceable Kingdom, and there's a scene where this calf is separated from his mom, and there's this, you know, this image of him being torn away from her, and they're both, you know, making all this noise, and that image really has stayed with me. There's some images from, you know, these films I've watched over the years that stay with me. Was there any images in particular or scenes for you that really stood out?
To be honest, when I was cutting it, I would get a box in the mail, some footage I'd requested, and it would come in, and I'd sit down and I'd go, I'd open this box up and I'd take some tapes out, and I'd be like, what am I going to see on these tapes? I'd load them into the system, and there was a lot of instances. I'm a pretty sensitive person, I'm the first to admit it, and I just sort of break down when I'd look at this stuff and weep sitting there at this editing table, and then I'd have to, like the elephant training footage, where they're beating the elephants for the circus. And the elephants are screaming, and you don't see this stuff. You never see this kind of thing. And here is this hidden camera from a vet technician who worked at Carson and Barnes, and you see the training of the elephants for the circus, and it just cracks my heart to see it. But then I have to lay it in, digitize it, synthesize it, create a composition with it, lay in the voiceover and the music. And a lot of that is done to help actually soften the blow of the roughness of this sort of mm-hmm. unedited footage, and then lay in the statistics and the information that Joaquin recites, and a bit of score, and present this sort of educational, hopefully educational composition to a viewer. Yeah, there's a few scenes that really stand out, so like the cast scene you mentioned in Peaceful Kingdom, which I remember. That's a great film. Yeah, and a powerful moment. Certainly, that dog being thrown away in Turkey, and just and everybody's affected by that because people love pets. They love dogs and cats. They are the ambassadors to the human world from the animal kingdom because they interact with us the most.
Mm.
But to see them, I think, is a solid link to take humans into the animal kingdom. And so when we see a dog or a cat suffer like that, we're touched. And it helps us recognize that a pig is it feels the same, feels pain the same way, and so does a cow. And so as we go into them, hopefully we feel compassion for them as well.
This interview went really fast. I'm sorry we have to end it now, but I wanted to make sure that people know how they can get a hold of the film. So if you can hit us up with that information, it would be great.
Yeah, the website's isawearthlings.com. And if you can't go online, our mailing address is 4000 D as in David, West Magnolia Boulevard, Suite 260, that's Burbank, California, 91505.
That's obviously the U.S. Where are you broadcasting from?
We're in Toronto, in Canada.
Knew it. I need to come back. I was wondering where you guys were. I was like, come on, I was taking a guess. You guys are very bored thinking. I just love Toronto.
we also, because the show is going to be archived on our website, animalvoices.ca, we'll have people listening from all over the world, so it's a real treat to have you both on. I remember there was a few years ago, I was at a talk by that Marjorie Spiegel was doing, who's done the book Dreaded Comparison, and somebody asked her, you know, how do you deal with all these, looking at all these terrible images, and she said, well, you know, it's nothing compared to what the animals go through, and she kind of dismissed that. And, you know, I thought about that a lot, and I think that there's some truth in what she's saying, but I also think that people who do the kind of work that you guys are doing is very brave and commendable, and I wanted to say thank you, because it's really important.
Well, thank you for having us on your show to talk about it.
Yes. Well, we appreciate it, and I hope as many people as possible check out the film. I'm really glad that I saw it, so thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay, well, you've been listening to Animal Voices on CIUT 89.5. Today we've been talking about Earthlings, and we were speaking today with the director and writer of the film, Sean Monson, and we were also speaking with Persia White, who's the co-producer of the film. You can find out more about that by going to our website as well, animalvoices.ca, or like they had both mentioned, isawearthlings.com is a great place to start to find out more about the film as well. Thanks to Lamia for teching. Stay tuned for Roadrunner.